So I want to take a second and tell you about the sponsor of this week's Just M segment, Phonics Museum. So I have a son. He's super smart. He walks around the house carrying calculators and pieces of paper and pens and doing math calculations. It is so confusing to me why he does that, but he does, and whatever, he knows. He's working on his multiplication facts and he's five. But when it comes to reading, he's like, meh, no thanks. I ask him to read like one of these tiny beginning readers with me, and he acts like I'm trying to light his hair on fire. I don't understand his aversion, but it's real. But then Phonics Museum came along, and it's really changing things for us. Phonics Museum was created because teaching children how to read at a young age is so important for their future academic success. But when you have a kid like mine, it can be overwhelming and difficult to know how to help him understand that it's something he needs to do. Phonics Museum takes the stress and guesswork out of teaching kids to read by using time-proven techniques that combine fun and storytelling and a multi-sensory approach to learning. My son loves this app, and he's not even asking to watch TV. He's asking to do this Phonics Museum game, as he calls it. So if you are in the same boat as I am, go to phonicsmuseum.com/MSW and you can try it for free for 2 weeks. That's phonicsmuseum.com/MSW. Welcome back. This is a Just M episode, and we are going to be talking today about John 4, verses 31 through 35. So we've been with the woman at the well lately. And so if you remember from last week, she dropped her jar and she ran into town to tell the people of Samaria, I think I've met the Christ because he told me everything I ever did. Okay, so we're going to pick up there, and I'm going to start reading from John 4, 31 through 45. I would love it if you would get your Bible, because it's really great to see these things. But I understand if you're washing dishes. I get it. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you don't even know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already, the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you didn't labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we've heard ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. After the 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. Okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So back at the top, verse 32, the disciples said, eat, eat, go ahead and eat. And I've spent a little time in Asia, and food is such a central thing. And it is for us too, but it's almost like nothing can happen unless you eat and you show everyone that you care about them from eating. I mean, I guess it's similar here, but I guess I really felt it when I was there. And so they were telling him, eat, eat, you know, and he said, I have food you don't even know about. So he's zooming out. He's thinking about bigger things. Lunch can be late if it needs to. I mean, imagine the backdrop of this whole conversation with the Samaritans coming out to meet him at the well. So they're worried about the physical and the right in front of them and the immediate. And he's kind of zoomed out and he's looking at eternal. He's got a long view of the situation and they have a short view. So it's like Jesus is a telescope. He can zoom out and see all the things. He's looking at like entire planetary systems. And they're concerned that he is going to be hungry if he doesn't eat lunch. So he says, I have food you don't even know about. And they said, wait, hold it. Who brought you lunch? You know, so they're like, hold it. Did somebody go to Chipotle and we didn't even see it? How did we miss this? So where he's like a telescope, they're more like a microscope. And they're just really, really in the nitpicky details of it. And I get it. I'm there too a lot of times. But then in verse 34 through 38, Jesus kindly zooms back out and gives them the big picture again. He breaks it down more clearly and he relates it to something that they understand, like the seasons and harvest, which for us were like, I'm sorry, I still don't like really get that, but they would have gotten it. So it was, as usual, a fantastic teaching move from our Lord when he breaks it down into something that they understand. And like I said, what I love about this is he's talking about sowing and reaping and how people have been sowing since the Old Testament. They've been sowing. John the Baptist had been sowing into Jesus's ministry and he hadn't even started yet. So Jesus is telling the disciples, you're going to be entering into the labor of the people who've been sowing a long time before you, and you're going to be reaping this quote unquote crop of new believers who are the Samaritans who are like walking up as he's speaking. So I love that. I think if we saw it in a video, I think if somebody amazing at cinematography could make a movie scene about this, it would be really great to see him talking about the harvest as the Samaritans are walking up. So then they come, the Samaritans come, they believe. Verse 40, they said they started off believing because of what the Samaritan woman said, which interestingly, she wasn't highly respected. We already remember that from last time. So it could have theoretically weakened his case by having her be the one to be the messenger. But I love that Jesus was not afraid of that. I think sometimes when things happen or we see big name Christians have moral failures and in just in very public ways get disgraced, sometimes we can think, oh my gosh, you're just really making Jesus look bad. I don't think Jesus is worried about looking bad, as evidenced by the people he hung out with and the people that he used, right? So the good news is that means he can use us because we are messes too, even if we can't see it. So anyway, they started off believing because of what she said, but then they believed because of their own experience with Jesus. So he stayed with them a couple days because they asked him to, and then he left a few days later to go to Galilee, which is his hometown. Nazareth was in Galilee, and so he heads there and gets a good welcome, but it says he was going there because he didn't have any honor in that place, and he wanted those people to know him as well. So that is kind of the whole bit that we're going to talk about today. I wanted to kind of unpack it a little bit and think about how could we struggle well based on this passage. So it says the disciples were really wondering about the food, and I get it. I'm really wondering about food. Some people say they get so busy they forget to eat. I've never had that problem. They were zoomed way in. They were focusing just on the physical world. They were focusing on what's right in front of their nose. I do the same thing. But ladies, I think Jesus is inviting us to zoom out, to take the long view of things, to humbly admit and to accept that we don't know everything. There's parts of the story that we don't have filled in, even if we think we do. There's spiritual aspects of things that we just simply can't see. God's plan is bigger and better and different than we first believe. And the good news is the spiritual things that we can't know on our own, God is so willing and eager to share those things with us if we will calm our hearts and just rest in him and sit with him and just ask, like, what do I need to do? What do I need to stop doing? Where are you at work that I can't see? What am I missing? So a strategy to struggle well this week would just be to sit with him and say, Lord, what spiritually is going on? And I'm just thinking about lunch. And I want to give you an insight that this passage gives us into God's heart for us. Because I know that when I say something, and I think I'm being quite clear, because I understand it perfectly, and my kids don't understand. They're either deciding not to understand, or they're in a bad mood, or they weren't listening the first time, or they get it, but they just don't like the answer, and they're thinking if they pretend like they don't know, they'll get a different answer. I sometimes get frustrated, a lot of times get frustrated, but what Jesus did is he went back to the zoom out. He's like, okay, big picture. Again, I already said this, but I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to bring it down to your level in another way. You didn't get it the first time, so now I'm going to bring it to seasons and harvest, and I'm going to connect it to things you know. And I think that's kind of an obvious parenting tip. We don't want to talk to our kids like they're adults. It doesn't really work. A lot of times it doesn't even work when we talk to them like they're kids. But God's heart to us is that he zooms it back out, gives us the big picture again, and brings it around to something that we can understand. So I think a strategy to struggle well this week would be to not get mad at our kids when they still don't get it after we told them. but tell him twice, tell him patiently, and tell him from another angle that they might understand better. I'm pretty sure that's a really good idea because that's what Jesus did here. Moving a little bit further on, Jesus tells the disciples, people before you worked really hard and you're going to get to benefit and you're going to join in the work that they're doing, but you're going to kind of see the shiny, glamorous part of the work being finished. People are going to come to know me and you're going to have a role in it, but there's people that went before you that you don't know about that did a bunch of work as well. That reminds me of parenting. Raising kiddos is the dirty, sweaty seed planting part. And not even just parenting, but relationships in general with the people who are really tricky for us. When we're selfless and we're in the trenches and we work to love them well, it may not yield the shiny, glamorous end result while we're around to see it. But ladies, I just would encourage you, and I'm telling you, I'm so discouraged this morning with things with my own kids. Our part is no less important, even if we don't see any fruit. Even if all we see is that we're exhausted and we feel like we are being treated like trash. We are planting seeds, and it's important. Because at harvest time, if that joker who was supposed to plant seeds never showed up, you ain't got no harvest. And also, the part that is so hard for me to make come out of my mouth right now, we may never see a change in our kids because maybe we just needed to get some change going on in ourselves. We can't just stand around hoping that they will get it and start being decent human beings. God might really just be getting to our hearts and teaching us a thing or two about humility and kindness and all the things we think we're trying to teach them. Can you tell I'm struggling today, ladies? So verse 40, the people of Samaria told the woman, we at first believed because of what you said, but now we believe because of what we've heard. It's one thing to be interested because of a testimony of someone else. It's another thing to take ownership of that testimony in your own life and apply it to your own story. And we can even take it further. This week, maybe you struggle well by going from believing a story that you've heard to following the one the story's about. Those are very different. So ask the Lord this week, where am I not following you? Or how do I follow you? What does that look like? This idea of making our faith our own that we're seeing happen in this passage can be really encouraging to us as parents when we see our kids trying to take our faith and work it out for themselves. We would love it if they just rise up and call us blessed, like it says Proverbs 31, and then say, you've taught me so well that I have no doubt or questions or gaps. I am ready to do this thing, no looking back. But I think with faith, at least in most everybody I've ever seen, it's not as tidy. It's definitely a lot messier to work out your faith and make it your own. So we can be encouraged if we see our kids wrestling with that, just continue to lift them up in prayer and trust God with the harvest. Yeah. And finally, at the end, Jesus heads to Galilee. He does not have any honor there. That is his hometown. It can be really tricky when we feel like we would like to be honored and we certainly aren't. So just be encouraged this week, ladies, and struggle well by realizing Jesus gets it. He was in the same situation. And from what it says here, he didn't avoid it. He went to it because he loved them and he wanted them to know the way back to God. It's super hard and is not fun, but maybe we struggle well this week by embracing the place we are, even if we're not getting any honor there. All right, ladies, let me pray for us. God, thank you that you lean into the hard places. Actually, I'm kind of mad about it because I would like to run away from them, but I know that I'm supposed to follow your example. I thank you that you're with me in my trials and in my sufferings, in the days I don't want to get out of bed, and the days my heart is just broken. You're with me in the days that I feel completely hopeless and like I can't even do tomorrow. God, I thank you that not only are you just with me like a sidekick, you are so much more than that. You are all powerful, all knowing. You're stronger than anyone, wiser than anyone, and you love me more than anyone. You go before me, you're behind me, you're all around me. You're the God of angel armies. You're my strong tower. You can turn anything around for good, even my situation. And you're 100% for me. You're 100% for my family. You wanted us together, even though I gotta tell you, I do not understand sometimes. But I thank you that you're always, always good. And I pray that you would just show up this week in my life, in the life of my listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.